for devotees who are following the development of the Braja Project. I spent the whole afternoon yesterday on going over the details of certain places, particularly Vishramgat, Janmastan, Gokula, and there are the two ghats, Brahmargat and Kaliyagat, along the Jamuna. Those we're starting on next week. And we're doing a little further work on others, such as the one right behind the temple outside, which is also outside my window, which is Niduvan Seva Kunj. There I'm lobbying to put a large lake, and one obstacle to the lobby is the finances for that. This is being done by an anonymous donor, and the other one is to convince the temple management for the upkeep of the lake, which is a lot of work, but that would really make it very, very beautiful. So these are going on, and still, just to remind devotees that Vishramgat, Janmastan, they're still waiting. They're still orphaned, waiting for sponsorship, as is the Mohanter, as well as two places on Govardhan, and one other. So there are six places which are yet to be sponsored. I'm going to now just read from Nava Braja Mahima, and this talks about, is the introduction to Mathura, and also speaks about Vishram Ghat. The crescent-shaped Mathura is situated just north of the tip of Krishna Valley's western petal. It is here that Krishna took birth, and it is here that he later returned to perform heroic deeds. Before Mathura city was manifested, Lord Varaha, after killing the first demon, Hiranyaksha, came to rest at what is now Vishramgat, and there he spoke to Bhumi Devi the glories of eternal Mathura. Although in Vaikuntha, Mathura is eternally manifest, on this earth it becomes visible and invisible. Thus, some say that Mathura received its name during the reign of the demon Madhu. Later, after he killed the demon Lavana, who renounced Lord Ram for destroying Ravan and his empire, Shatrughna expanded the earthly counterpart of eternal Mathura. Shatrughna developed Mathura to the likeness of the spiritual world, and bequeathing it to his sons, faithfully returned to his elder brother's side in Ayodhya. After killing his uncle Kamsa, and while Balaram consoled Kamsa's widows, Krishna washed the blood from his hands at Vishramgat, and then the brothers bathed, dressed, and rested. Some years later, after killing Dantavakra outside the eastern gate of Mathura, Krishna again rested here before eagerly fording the river to visit his kinsmen. As the wheels of his chariot cut through the Jamuna, showering water to either side, Krishna's bliss at the thought of going home far exceeded his happiness at ridding the world of demons. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Mathura, absorbed in the same bliss of homecoming, he immediately plunged into the waters of Vishramgat, sporting in the Jamuna like a child. The residents of the city gathered to see Gauranga's display of ecstasy, agreeing amongst themselves that such an extraordinary person could be no other than the son of Yashoda. Great devotees like Janava Devi and their followers always bathe at the resting place of Hari, a place that gives lost souls rest from the pain of wandering in the desert of birth and death. Seeing Vishramgat at sunrise, a time at which the Lord's splendor resides there, one attains liberation. If, at that time, one offers sesame and water to one's ancestors, they rise to Vaikuntha. Remembering these pastimes of the Lord at Mathura, praying to Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and the Vaishnavas, I began the proper rituals to inaugurate my pilgrimage and assure its success. Keeping Gauranga and Sri Lal within my heart, I pray to infallible Vajrangaji, permit me to complete my parikrama. Even Lord Ram dependent on Hanuman for the success of his mission. Remembering Nrsimha and his chakra, I touch the waters of Vishwanti Tirtha, and offered arati to Jamuna Devi, without whose grace the essence of Parikram remains a flower in the sky. Calling out to Yogamaya and Gopeshwar, I placed the end of my cloth in my mouth and beseeched Brinda Devi, please be merciful to me. Make the tree of my desires quickly bear fruit. Thus relieved of sin, I bowed to Radha Shyam, offered them heartfelt prayers, sweet words of prayers, and began beg them to bless my undertaking with success. My parikrama had begun. Looking to the south, beyond the bridge across the Jamuna, I saw the place where, overcome by the ecstasy of entering Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya lay in the dust for 3 days. A passerby, a Mathura Brahmana by the name Krishnadas, brought the Lord back to external consciousness, and the Lord empowered Krishnadas to take him on parikrama of Braj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and later Raghava Pandit taught by example that parikram must start by visiting the holy places of Mathura and the bathing ghats along its riverside. Happily walking along the road by which Krishna entered Mathura and where he first disposed of Kamsa's belligerent washerman, I recalled the previous birth of this offender. And, a few paces west, I beheld the clearing where a weaver, his heart full of yearning for the Lord, dressed Krishna and Balaram in Kamsa's garments and ornamented them with cloth armlets and earrings. Just a reference for this washerman, which here was referred to as an offender. In the Garga Samhita, it says that the washerman who Krishna killed was the same washerman who Lord Ramachandra overheard criticizing Sita Devi and compared her to an unchaste wife. So because of this offensive mentality, he took birth again in Mathura, and it was there that Krishna killed him and gave him liberation. The two brothers, very pleased with their appearance, this is Krishna and Balaram, and glowing like two elephants in the sunset, blessed the weaver to obtain the six opulences in this life and the form like theirs in the next. At the southwestern corner of the junction between the roads leading to Vrindavan and Mahavan is the charming cottage of the devotee florist Sudam. In a previous life, Sudam, a gardener of Kuvera called Hemamali, daily worshipped Lord Shiva for 5,000 years with 300 lotus flowers daily, all for the sake of seeing Lord Krishna. When Maheshwar appeared to bestow a boon, Hemamali asked, may I see the Supreme Lord Krishna enter my home? To which the great Lord smiled and said, so be it. In this way, Hemamali took birth at the end of Dwapara Yuga as Sudam of Mathura, and to fulfill the promise of Lord Shiva, Krishna and Balaram entered Sudam's home uninvited. Sudam was beside himself to see the two lords looking around his house. Falling at their feet, he duly worshipped them, offered them sweet prayers, and decorated them with aromatic garlands. Although Krishna was willing to offer Sudam any benediction he liked, the florist's only request was unflinching devotion, birth after birth, which the Lord happily gave. Not far south of Sudam's home, I saw the place even demigods rarely attain, Prayag Tirtha, worship of which bestows residence in heaven. And north of Sudam's house, on the opposite side of the road, the large rock against which Kamsa tried to dash the eighth child of Devaki, a girl, contrary to prophecy. The girl was the Lord's Yogamaya, born from the womb of Yashoda, and exchanged by Vasudeva for his own son, Krishna. When Kamsa tried to kill her, she slipped from his grasp and mocked him from the sky. I offer my obeisances to the younger sister of the Lord, who is Durga, ensnares conditioned souls in the web of fruit of work, and who is Yogamaya, engages pure devotees in Krishna's pastimes. An equal distance along the royal road is the place where the hunchback Kubja offered to beautiful Krishna the best selection of fragrant ointments she was carrying to Kamsa. In exchange for her services and to reveal the benefit of seeing him, Krishna pressed down Kubja's feet with his own and, lifting her chin with two fingers, straightened her body. When Kubja was thus transformed into an enchanting maiden who herself was enchanted by Krishna, she pleaded with him to come to her home, but when he was teased by his friends, Krishna declined. Smiling to myself, I exclaimed, O Shyam, when Radha hears of this incident, she will be cross, but I will assure her that Kubja is but her own expansion, and your kindness but a foretelling of your mission. praying to Krishna in that way, I approached a place of heroic deeds, Dhanustirtha, which on the eve of his entering Mathura, Krishna located with the help of some newfound friends. At this sacrificial arena was the bow with which Lord Shiva destroyed the cities of the demons, Tripura, and which he later gave to Parashuram and Parashuram to Kamsa. This extraordinary bow, inlaid with gold, was 7 talas long and weighed 100,000 paras. By Krishna, Kamsa's order, all the townspeople worshipped it on the Chaturdasi. Overcoming many soldiers' attempts to stop him, Krishna lifted the bow, strung it, drew it to his ears, and broke it, making a sound that shattered Kamsa's heart and caused the king's parasol to fall. Each wielding 1/2 a bow, Krishna and Balaram fought Kamsa's soldiers for 2 hours, and after killing them, the lords cast aside their weapons and returned to the Gopas' encampment. I smiled at the thought of that supreme person, feared by fear personified, who after breaking the bow ran to the shelter of his father's embrace, while casting frightened glances here and there. I meditate on that transcendental Cupid who, with his seductive beauty, which only the gopis could fully savor, bewildered the ladies of Mathura. In my heart of hearts, I worship that blackest youth with smiling eyes, who, while courted by candid Kubja, or aristocratic ladies, thinks only of a fair-complexioned milkmaid in Vrindavan. We'll stop there from here on in, goes to the different pastime places in Mathura. Hare Krishna.